At 3 p.m. Oklahoma City time, the statement was made on radio that the only persons who might plant a bomb beside a daycare center, which was located in the second floor of the federal building, would be people who had lost children themselves because of the government's actions, and thus we should all suspect survivors of the Branch Davidians. This was immediately poo-pooed by the KTOK news anchor, who may have more sense than anyone previously thought. But this will surface again, I assure you. A later report tied Bob Ricks into the situation because of his involvement in the Waco massacre. His office is in Oklahoma City. When questioned at the 5 p.m. press conference about the possibility of a link between the Branch Davidians and today's bombing, Ricks said merely that nothing is being ruled out and nobody knows anything yet. Very noncommittal as he shifted uncomfortably from side to side. Intelligence service members have recorded some very interesting conversations from the scanner. One such conversation was being held with a nurse on the scene who was speaking on a cordless phone. She was telling a friend of her experience on the bomb scene and mentioned that as she assisted a policeman with the removal of one of the victims from the rubble, he said, quote, "We're going to go to war over this," end quote. The majority of rescue workers are completely stressed out at this time. Tempers are short, and all patience has been exhausted. They are liable to say anything. You can hear it in every voice on the scanner. Most emergency personnel who have been interviewed on radio and television seem completely shocked, and it is evident that they were totally unprepared for the sheer scope of the carnage and devastation. The First Christian Church near the scene has been turned into a counseling center for people on the scene who are too upset to function, as well as for family members of the injured and the dead. The church has staffed the building with psychologists, psychiatrists, and anyone with any counseling training to deal with the people who are in extreme emotional shock. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, there are so many such people. A call went out over the radio this afternoon asking for more trained counselors and medical personnel to come and help. The post office building has been turned into a temporary hospital. Several triage centers have also been established in several nearby streets. Don't expect to get any mail from Oklahoma City on time. Many local restaurateurs, in coordination with the Feed the Children organization, are providing food for the emergency personnel at the scene, and indeed for anyone who comes along who needs it. The Red Cross has been taking blood donations all day long and have put out statewide calls for donors of type O blood. The Blood Institute on North Lincoln Boulevard is still taking donors at this time, and the wait after arrival is now about an hour. People are parked wherever they can on the grass, the sidewalks, along the streets where traffic normally flows, desperately searching for friends and loved ones. Our station chief has been monitoring the search and rescue situation all day in her car, and as soon as her husband got home, he began audio taping off the scanner while simultaneously videotaping from the television set. And around 5:30 p.m., our Washington people began meeting with the governor in the governor's mansion, supposedly to get coordinated with the federal investigators sent in by Waco, Reno. And the governor has announced that the entire investigation is now in the hands of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Should we cheer? The last time anyone's lives were in the hands of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, they were burnt crisp. And the ATF wore T-shirts hailing their Texas barbecue. So forgive me if I'm not thrilled that the investigation is now in the hands of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The most accurate information comes off the scanner, and we are taping constantly all around the area. There is no transmission being made that escapes our agents. The FBI and the BATF have now set up an operational headquarters at 11 Northeast 6th Street. At 7 p.m. Oklahoma time, a call over the scanner reported packages discovered at the Medallion Hotel, and a request was made for a bomb dog to be taken to the hotel, but a search of the phone directory shows that there is no such hotel listed in the Oklahoma City phone book. If anything transpires on that, we will, of course, let you know. Things are constantly continuing to happen. There's a tremendous amount of danger connected to that building, and no one really knows what is holding the rest of it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to a rerun of The Hour of the Time, which originally aired April the 19th, 1995, the day that the Alfred P. Muir Federal Building was bombed in Oklahoma City. It is not a current event. This is a rerun, which originally aired April the 19th, 1995.
When they tell you that half of the building was blown away, that is not quite the truth. Half the building was indeed blown away, ladies and gentlemen. But the only thing that remains is a shell of the other half, for the entire inside of the building was gutted. We have people on scene, and we have people in every aspect of public service reporting to us constantly. As you have heard tonight, this is the only complete and factual report that has occurred through any media all day long. And that is due to the people who have dedicated their resources and their lives, and have taken an oath as officers and men and women of the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic. Thank them.
Thank you.
What happened in Oklahoma City only too conveniently overshadows Waco 2 years ago. Memorize that sound, ladies and gentlemen. You will hear it more and more in America. Not because I want it, and believe me, I have nothing whatsoever to do with it. It is a part of the agenda of the emerging one-world totalitarian socialist state. It is furthering the agenda of the disarmament of the American people, and indeed the peoples and the nations of the world. It is a deceit. It is a lie. It is a manipulation. Hezbollah has no truck with April the 19th. No patriot in this country would ever attack our government without being attacked by this government first. That I can assure you. No fundamentalist religious organization has any reason to bomb any building in Oklahoma City. We all know in our hearts why this was done and whose agenda it furthers. We must never, ever, in our lives, or in our children's lives, or in our grandchildren's lives, or their children and grandchildren's lives, forget what happened in Waco, Texas, on April the 19th, 1993. I urge you to phone this number and tell them that their scam doesn't work. We remember Waco, and we will hold them accountable. And eventually, the real perpetrators of this crime that occurred in Oklahoma City will be found, and we will also hold them accountable. The number is 1-800-546-3224. 1-800-546-3224. It is the number of the Justice Department. 1-800-546-3224. 1-800-546-3224. 1-800-546-3224. We remember Waco. We will hold the perpetrators responsible, ultimately, under the law. The fax number is 202-616-9898. 202-616-9898. 202-616-9898. Insist upon a complete investigation of the Waco massacre. Insist upon a thorough and complete investigation of the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City, and insist upon an independent criminal investigation that does not involve the Federal Bureau of Investigation or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The numbers are 1-800-546-3224. 1-800-546-3224. 202-616-9898. 202-616-9898. Remember that sound. You will hear it again in America, and again and again, until they realize their goal of their utopian, totalitarian, socialist world government. What is happening furthers an agenda. It is not our agenda. It is the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, of world totalitarian socialism. And don't you ever, in your wildest dreams, forget it. It will come again. Good night, and God bless you all.
The Hour of the Time is not finished, ladies and gentlemen. We have more to come. You have been listening to a rerun of a broadcast which originally aired on April the 19th, 1995, the date of the bombing of the Alfred C. Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. As usual, we were the only ones who had it right. And today, you heard a big lie, and we're going to talk about that.
Everybody's hands are in their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long thin roof. Everybody knows.
Played that broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We reran that broadcast for a reason. What happened today? Phones are open, 520-333-4578. What happened today? What did you hear today? What was the big lie on the communist news networks? And what didn't they tell you that led to that decision? 520-333-4578 is the number. I want to hear from you right now. How many of you have been paying attention to the news? What did you hear today concerning what you have just heard on this broadcast? 520-333-4578 is the number. And what didn't they tell you about the decision of the, well, I'm going to wait for you to tell me that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Turn off your radio.
Yeah, just kidding. The grand jury in Oklahoma City finished their deliberations and had an indictment that they didn't say who the indictment was for or against.
But what was the report that they issued?
Oh, that everything that has been done was okay as far as trials and whatnot.
What did they say about a conspiracy?
Now that I didn't catch. I just heard the what I did say.
Okay, but you heard that they handed down a secret indictment.
Right.
They didn't say who it was for.
Right. They did not mention who was and whose name was on that indictment.
And you don't remember anything else?
No, other than that they basically said that what has gone on in the past with the trials and everything appears to, or in their judgment, was on the up and up.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
520-333-4578, that's partly correct. The Oklahoma City, not the Oklahoma City, but the Oklahoma grand jury looking into the bombing of the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building handed down a secret indictment today for one other person. Nobody knows who it is. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, they said it was no big conspiracy and that no prior knowledge on the part of the federal government or the local government.
Yeah, they said there was no big conspiracy. In fact, they didn't say big conspiracy. They said there was no further conspiracy.
Right.
And there was no prior knowledge on the part of the government. Do you believe that? Absolutely. The Oklahoma City prosecutor who campaigned against the formation of a grand jury to investigate what happened in the Oklahoma City bombing is the person who controls that grand jury. Did you know that?
Yes, I believe so.
Now,
they control what they, you know, who they talk to and what evidence they saw.
That's right. The grand jury did not see the evidence. For instance, I've told you on this broadcast what I know about the Oklahoma City bombing. They never called me. They never called anyone who could testify to the fact that there was a John Doe number 2 and to his identity and to the fact that the government had prior knowledge of the bombing.
I wasn't surprised, you know, when I heard what they said today. It didn't surprise me. I was hoping it would be.
Well, in the beginning, I made the statement that Charles Key was a scam. That Charles Key was not out to expose the truth about the bombing, but to control information that was made available about the real culprits, and that turned out to be true.
So is he actually working?
He certainly wasn't working to expose the truth, I'll tell you that.
Right.
And I also said that when this grand jury was convened, I said the information that flows to that grand jury will be controlled, and what they're going to do is whitewash the whole thing. I was severely criticized for that. So I changed my tune a little bit, and I started telling people when they asked me that question, well, let's wait and see what happens when it's all over with, and let's wait and see what they say. Well, we've done that, and we've heard what they've said, and what they've said is a lie. And they were sheeple. They were American sheeple, citizens who live in the state of Oklahoma, who don't know dip dork about anything, who were selected to sit on this grand jury, who did not take the responsibility to call the witnesses or investigate on their own. Instead, they sat there like stupid zombies and believed that this prosecutor, who campaigned against the grand jury to begin with, was allowing them to hear the testimony of all of the witnesses and to hear the truth.
Yes.
And of course, that was a lie also.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. The citizens who sat on that grand jury abdicated their responsibility. And their report is a lie. Good evening, you're on the air. Hi, Dave.
And I just wanted to mention something that I heard on another program today that makes this thing even more outrageous than ever. You perhaps have heard of this person named Carol Howe, who was...
Carol Howe, yes, I know all about Carol Howe.
Right, she was for everybody else, she was an undercover agent.
For the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
That's right.
She warned them far in advance that this bombing was going to take place.
Right, and what I heard, she actually testified to this grand jury for 2 days about what she knew and about the reports that she had turned in and so on. There's no way that the ATF and potentially through them the FBI was unaware of what was going on.
I can guarantee you that.
I'm sorry, say
that. I can guarantee you that.
And so the reports that I've been hearing all day on CBS and ABC and whatnot are just totally outrageous.
At the time that that John Doe number 2, who was Michael Brescia, and McVeigh, mm-hmm. Timothy McVeigh, came to visit me in Arizona, the FBI was occupying a room in the motel next door to our research center in St. John's, Arizona. They had our entire research center bugged. Now, McVeigh and Brescia had originally come to purchase some things from Surplus and Stuff, which was next door to our research center. Tim Lesperance brought them over to the research center and introduced them to us. I met them both. John Doe number 2 and Timothy McVeigh, and John Doe number 2 is Michael Brescia.
Mm-hmm.
He told me his name. I've identified him. I know exactly who he is. There were 7 people in the research center at the time that this occurred. They told us that they were going to do something, and would we support them? I asked them what they were going to do. They told me they couldn't tell me. I said, if you can't tell me, I can't support you. You might go out and kill somebody. They said, well, we're not going to kill anybody. All we want you to do is support us, and if we need to be hid out for a little while, you know, if war breaks out between the government and the militia, then we need your support. I said, no, I can't give it to you because I have no idea what you're going to do. They said, watch Oklahoma City. They gave me a copy of the Turner Diaries. They got into their Mercury Marquis station wagon that had a big black television in the back seat, and they drove off. And all the while that this conversation was going on, across the street, there was a brown pickup with a camper on top of it. And there was a guy that looked like a Miami tourist taking pictures of everybody. And down the street behind them was a Treasury Department car with agents inside taking pictures also. And when McVeigh and Brescia left, a few minutes later, the pickup truck with the camper on top left. And a few minutes after that, the little white Treasury car with the agents inside that were taking pictures left, and all of the conversation was recorded by the FBI agents in the motel room next door. I have volunteered this information. I told it to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Guess what happened to me? They went and lied to a grand jury and issued warrants for the arrest of myself and my wife.
On tax problems, I believe.
Not tax problems. We're not required to file or pay the federal income tax.
And that was their accusation, wasn't it?
That was their accusation to demonize us. We were never called to testify by anyone. We have made this information available a long time ago to Charles Key, and it was available to the grand jury in Oklahoma.
Well, these questions are...
Now, it's not just me saying this. Remember, there were 7 other people in the research center who saw and heard this entire conversation and who met these people and can identify them.
I've heard all kinds of things, Bill, that, for example, Timothy McVeigh and someone else were supposed to have stayed in a hotel room somewhere, and they met with some other people. And
that's true.
And one FBI agent went in and lifted fingerprints and whatnot, and he was prohibited from running those fingerprints through the FBI computer.
I don't know about that. I do know about the motel room. Not a hotel. It's a motel.
Okay.
Other people were there besides Timothy McVeigh and Michael Brescia, who is John Doe number 2. And the people who saw the third person described him to a police sketch artist, and guess who they sketched?
Who?
The Unabomber. It's an exact portrait of the Unabomber.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Very, very, very interesting.
I just hope that this persists, because this has all been a cover-up, and...
You better bet your boots it is.
And, you know, I heard on another program today that the next thing might be a congressional hearing. Well, I'm not holding out any hope for that, because we know what came of the congressional hearing over Waco and Ruby Ridge, don't we?
Well, I'll tell you something else that we have that is being safeguarded. They can never get it unless we choose to let them have it, and we're not going to. We have a tape recording of a telephone conversation between a citizen in Oklahoma and Congressman Istook, where Istook admits the whole thing, that they knew about it in advance, that they, well... That's all I'm going to tell you. And we have done voice spectrum analysis, scientific comparison of the voice of Congressman Istook while he was speaking in Congress with the voice on the tape, and it is, without any doubt whatsoever, Congressman Istook.
And Istook is supposed to be a friend of conservatives.
Don't you ever believe it. Don't you ever believe that there's a friend of liberty in Congress or anywhere in Washington, D.C. Everything that they're doing is an act for the sheeple. And it doesn't matter if there's a Republican president in the White House or a Democrat president in the White House, we're still going to have a one-world totalitarian socialist government, and I will bet you everything I own. In fact, I'll bet my ass on it. Maybe frightening, but it's the truth. We have the recording. We can prove it. And there is nothing that Congressman Istook can do to change his voice. It is him, and he admits that he, as a member of Congress, knew all about the bombing before it ever happened.
Yeah,
he's been accused of this by other people long before you ever heard it from me. And he has denied it. I'm here to say, on the air, right now, on a worldwide broadcast, Congressman Istook is a liar. He's a bold-faced, stinking, scum-sucking liar.
And what amazes me is that almost no one, just a few people here and there, but almost no one questions the idea that this was a fertilizer bomb, which could not possibly have...
That's because they're sheeple, and they have been trained all their life to believe what authority tells them. And after all, this is the United States of America. It couldn't possibly happen here. What do you expect them to say? They don't have a brain. They have never had an original thought in their life. They have never done anything. They have been taught from the time they were born never to do or say anything that might make them unpopular. If you want to understand how the American public works, go study high school society, and that will give it to you, served on a platter.
Yep.
Watch what happens to the kids that disagree with the socias.
Yep, they're ostracized.
You better believe it.
Okay, Bill, I'll let someone else get on here, but I just wanted to comment on that, that there's just no way that this was done by a couple of sod busters like Timothy McVeigh and...
You're absolutely right. And while Brescia and McVeigh were in the research center, they were only there for about 10 minutes, but they wanted to show me the implants that had been put in them by the United States Army.
I think they were part of it. I think they were used.
Well, listen to me very carefully. They wanted to show me the implants that were put into them by the United States Army. Both of them said that they fought together in the Gulf War, that they were members of the United States Army. Brescia showed me on his left shoulder a little bump behind his shoulder, and there was a little scar there. I saw that. McVeigh wanted to drop his pants and show me his butt because he claimed the implant was in his butt. I declined to look at that one. They both told me that the United States Army approved of what they were doing and were following them everywhere that they went. They told me that to my face. I am a witness firsthand. I'm not telling you this secondhand. This is the truth.
Well, the thing is, you know, they come off on the general press sounding crazy and paranoid and whatnot, and I didn't know whether it was true or not, but I do know the technology exists. So I cannot totally discount it, and if you were an eyewitness to it, you know, I have to take that.
Well, I didn't look at McVeigh's butt, but I did look at Brescia's shoulder, and there was something under the skin. I don't know what it was, and there was a little scar tissue there where it had obviously been inserted.
The technology exists because it's common knowledge that they do it with animals.
Well, we all know it exists. There's no doubt about that.
So there's a possibility that it's all true, and like you said, you saw what you saw, and you're reporting it.
I've reported it before. Nobody's listening.
And
nobody cares.
You can't discount it as a possibility.
Nobody cares. If they cared, they would have reported a long time ago. It's been on my website. I've reported on this broadcast. I've told you exactly what I'm telling you now on this broadcast before.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bill, thanks for talking to me, and I'll let you talk to the next person.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Also told the FBI. I told the FBI. 520-333-4578 is the number. 520-333-4578 is the number. And folks, it wasn't just me. Wasn't just me. And I told the FBI it wasn't just me. There was at least seven other people in the research center when all of this happened. McVeigh and Brescia stopped by in St. John's to visit Tim Lesperance and purchase some things from Surplus and stuff, and Tim brought him next door and introduced him to us. They stayed for about 10 minutes and left. Never saw him again. Never heard from him again. We didn't know they were going to blow something up. They didn't tell us that. They wanted to know if we or the Arizona militia would help them if they did something to further the cause of freedom in these hard times. I said, well, what are you going to do? Well, we can't tell you that. Well, if you can't tell me that, I can't help you. This is exactly what we told them. Doesn't this blow your mind? And the Oklahoma grand jury, manipulated by the prosecutor, brings back their findings, ladies and gentlemen, that there was no conspiracy and the government had no advance knowledge. I'm telling you right now, the United States government blew up that building and used McVeigh and Nichols as patsies. Patsies. Go to our website and read Majesty 12. The website is harvest-trust.org. harvest-trust.org. Why do you think President Clinton called me the most dangerous radio host in America? Why do you think they have done so much to injure us, to hurt us, to discredit us, to silence us, to demonize us? And eventually they will come to murder us or imprison us. You can bet your butt on it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Please forgive me for being on a cordless phone, but I just have one request. If you would please give out the address for Harvest Trust.
Okay, I'll do that. Or I'll give out the address of the hour of the time. How's that?
Okay, well, I'm particularly interested in the television fund.
Well, you can send it to the hour of the time.
Okay.
Remember, we only accept cash or blank money orders.
Yes.
And don't forget to tell us who you are so we'll know who our allies are.
Yes, sir.
That's important to me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. Good night.
The address is the Hour of the Time. The Hour of the Time. In care of 98.5 FM. That's 98.5 FM. P.O. Box 940, that's P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's the hour of the time. In care of 98.5 FM. P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R. That's Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. The postal zone is, once again, 85925. The number is 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, Mr. Cooper. How you doing?
Well, if you've been listening, you know how I'm doing. I'm pretty pissed off, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, I don't blame you. Any thinking, logical person knows that there's only a snowball's chance in hell that McVeigh and Nichols could have done that thing by themselves.
A truck full of fertilizer could never have brought that building down. That's not in a million years.
Yeah, you know, I saw a guy, he came through the Prophecy Club circuit. He was a retired colonel. I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he gave all the documentation on how they...
Was he a retired general, maybe?
Yeah, that might have been him.
Uh-huh.
I don't recall his name offhand.
General Parton?
That's the gentleman.
General Parton, we found him. We were the first ones who published his report in Veritas magazine. We were the only ones who dug up and found the seismographic records, both of them, published them in Veritas magazine. Everybody else, or not magazine, but newspaper, everybody else got our newspaper and copied those seismograph reports and never even gave us credit for digging them up. I'm really angry at what happens in this country, and I'm angry at the non-support of all of those people who call themselves conservatives and people who love freedom. I'm angry at the people who've stolen our research over the years and duplicated it and never have given us credit, you know, and all kinds of other things that just drives me right up the tree. I am absolutely sick of people who claim to be supportive of our cause, but when we need money to really do something, won't even send as much as a dime, not even 10 cents, to support a cause that they claim they're behind. I am just absolutely sick and tired of the whole thing.
And
I am disgusted, if you want to know the truth.
So
when you ask me how I am,
yeah,
that's how I am.
Well, you know, brother, I tell you, it's really a sad state of affairs because the majority of these people are spending the last remaining months, I believe, of freedom out there partying and having sex with their neighbor's wife and watching sports on TV. And
you better watch out. Have you contributed to our television project?
No, I wasn't even aware.
Good night, hypocrite. How dare he complain about the inactivity of other people when he has not contributed himself? That's what I'm talking about. A nation of hypocrites and liars. It's bad enough you lie to me and your neighbor. You got to lie to yourself. You got to call in and pretend that you're right on top of it, a big contributor doing the right thing. Lie to me? Oh my God, how can you lie to yourself? What kind of bullshit is going on here? Huh? Who can answer that? Is there anybody out there that can tell me, what kind of bullshit are you people trying to lay on me? Why am I risking the lives of myself and my family for these kinds of hypocrites and liars? Can you tell me that? Why should I? Have you ever seen my children or my wife? Why in the world should I jeopardize their lives for you? It's driving me up the wall, folks. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering when you first mentioned this TV program, because I only heard about it
About a year ago. There was a donation page on the website for months. Try about on the radio just about every night for several months, and then, you know, we just about gave up on it and decided to try it again.
Oh, because I just heard heard about it about 2 days ago. I don't have a computer, and I've only started hearing your broadcast. What about?
Well, then I'm not talking to you, am I?
Oh, I don't know, but I feel terrible.
Well, you should feel terrible. Most people are not supporting the cause that they pretend to support.
I can't.
But if you never heard of it before, why would you feel so guilty about just hearing about it now? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who have known about it for a while and haven't even bothered to send a nickel.
Well, maybe they haven't heard about it either. Maybe they.
Oh, good night. What kind of a crazy thing is this? Out of an entire listening audience of millions of people, we've gotten donations of $625, and you're telling me they haven't heard about it? Good night. Come on. You people better get some brains and wake up. You're not talking to some dummy here. My ass is hanging over the cliff. There's warrants out for our arrest for what we have done on behalf of all of you. I would never pretend to get on the air and tell you that you are not required to file and pay income taxes if I were filing and paying, you stupid sheeple. I have to set an example. I must be the leader that I claim to be, and I must be willing to give my life for freedom as I claim to believe I must. So don't call me on the phone and try to bullshit me. You're not going to get away with that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
This is Bruce in Omaha.
Hello, Bruce.
I just recently became aware of you. But the gentleman that you slammed off the air a couple minutes ago, it just got out of his mouth that he was not aware of your project.
That was a woman, and I told her that if she was not aware of my project, why did she feel so guilty about it?
I heard that.
Okay. I wasn't accusing her of being remiss. What I was saying, and I did say it, is that if she didn't know about it...
I was talking about the gentleman before that. I just became aware of you, and I have not contributed either, but I only make enough money to get by from payday to payday.
Oh, wait a minute. I have warrants out for my arrest.
I know.
And my wife has a warrant out for her arrest. We're not employed by anybody. Yet we publish a newspaper. Yet we give you an international broadcast. We are putting together a television project to create a television station for the Round Valley where I live. And by the way, we have never received one word of support or $1 contribution from anybody in this Round Valley who are going to benefit from a television station. And there is no television station here.
Okay? Now you
understand what's going on here? We're giving everything that we don't even have, and you're telling me that you don't even have a nickel you can contribute? Good night. You're full of crap. You're full of crap. What would you have to give up to contribute a few cents? A couple of Cokes? A couple of beers? A gallon of ice cream? What exactly would you have to sacrifice, you poor, miserable people who cannot even contribute to your own cause? Who the hell do you think you're talking to? Give me a video camera. Let me follow you around for 5 days in a row, and I can show you where you could easily part with $100 and never miss it. Because that money goes spent on pleasure. If you don't like what I'm saying, turn off your radio and go away. I don't care about ratings. I'm not here for ratings. I don't get paid by ratings. In fact, I don't get paid at all. Every expense for this radio broadcast comes out of the mouths of my family and out of my own mouth and my own pocket. You poor, miserable people. I don't have time to do anything. I'm so busy. I have my job, and I have my family, and I don't have any money to send. Bullshit. You're a pack of hypocritical liars, and that's why you're going to lose this battle. And that's why the socialists and communists will win, because they are dedicated to winning and they give everything. They give their time, they give their money, they give everything. They even sacrifice their lives for their cause. You're losers. You are losers. You're going to go down the tubes. And when you go down the tubes, guess what? You will not look in the mirror and say, oh, I should have done more. Guess what you'll do? You'll blame me and the rest of the people who are doing all that we can and even more than we can. And what in the world makes you think we can afford it? You'll blame us because we didn't do more. I understand human nature perfectly, and I know exactly what Benjamin Franklin meant when he was asked, when he came out of the Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, hey Ben, what have you wrought? He said, and I quote, a republic, if you can keep it, end quote. He was very polite. He didn't say, if you can keep it, you stupid sheeple, cattle, ignorant, apathetic, stupid jerks. But that's exactly what he should have said, because he knew it. He knew it when he said it. And that's why he said it, a republic if you can keep it, because he knew damn well you wouldn't be able to. He knew it. And I knew it. And you can stand in front of a mirror and lie to yourself, but you will never, ever get away with lying to me. I'll throw it right back in your face so fast, you won't even know what happened. Don't even try it. Don't even, in your wildest dreams, even give it a try. Good night. I hope that somehow something wakes you up. And despite all your failings and all your stupidity and apathy and ignorance, God bless you all.
Good night, sweetheart, when it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart, when it's time to go.